Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Supply today at bakeru.edu. Obviously, we are here in St. Louis to start us off for what's trending for CAG's debut. Jack Caglione will make his big league debut. We heard from JJ Piccolo, the general manager of the squad, earlier today. He said he is likely to DH tonight. We'll talk more about that. And also said really the consideration is whether he's going to bat fifth or sixth. Could also be some other lineup changes. But the Royals, 6:45 first pitch, they will send Michael Lorenzen to the bump. And Vern, on deck show, begins at 5:30.
Obviously, we'll bring you content live from the stadium as we head out that way. Maybe we'll go live for a BP for a little bit, or we'll send some videos out. We're going to have some fun tonight down there in or here in St. Louis. Keys closer Luke Weaver is out for 4 to 6 weeks with a hamstring injury for a team that was already having a little bit of trouble outside their bullpen. You see big teams, Yankees and Dodgers, go through these stretches where it looks a little harder for them. They're still one of the best teams in baseball, but they'll have to do it without their closer Gold for the next 4 to 6 weeks with that hamstring injury. Of course, this matters a little bit because the Royals will take on the Yankees next Tuesday as Jack Caglione will make his home debut 1 week from tonight.
Elsewhere in the NBA, there's a couple reports out there suggesting that Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Toronto Raptors maybe have mutual interests. Now, that would require a trade. We all know that this is the first time really in Giannis's career where he's seriously considered leaving the Bucks. I know there was some speculation prior to him winning a championship, but this time it seems kind of real, right? One, Giannis still has not requested a trade. Let's keep that, like, even though everybody's speculating, he has not requested a trade. And then right this second, it looks like the Raptors seem to be the newest team linked. We all know everybody speculated maybe Spurs or Rockets as potential suitors, the Brooklyn Nets. So we'll see how this plays out, but it's something to keep an eye on. What would that trade look like? I mean, Giannis is owed around $54 million next season, is under contract until 2027. So if you're going to match the salary, Toronto would have some work to do there. Obviously, there's some players involved that would have to be, you know, a Brandon Ingram type would have to be part of that trade, too.
Next up on What's Trending, Chris Bubich was named the Royals Pitcher of the Month. Mikel Garcia, the Royals Player of the Month. Again, we'll talk about this more here in just a minute as JJ Piccolo hinted at some possible lineup changes for the Royals that could be seen as early as tonight. No official lineup for the Royals out yet. But yeah, Chris Bubich named the Royals Pitcher of the Month. I mean, duh. He had an ERA at like 0.56. And Mikel Garcia, who had yet another really good month, followed up his really good April with another great May. Hopefully he continues that into June as well.
Yeah, if it wasn't for Chris Bubich, I mean, Noah Cameron, I guess, would have been the answer, right?
Yeah, for Pitcher of the Month.
I mean, and most teams, he would have been the Pitcher of the Month.
Yeah, he had like a 1.05 ERA. Unfortunately for him, Chris Bubich, half that.
That's right. By the time his month ended.
Man. That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. I think Dusty, at this point in time, must be, I don't know, you think he's got to be past Columbia at this point in time, right?
I mean, I would think so.
We're in St. Louis. He drove out after his show. We had some listeners text in, and it's funny because we started the show that a buddy of mine was planning on taking the Amtrak out here to St. Louis.
Okay, thought I'll take the train out. That's fun.
And they got a text alert last night. I guess, unfortunately, there was maybe a train derailment, as people were saying, in Sedalia, but he didn't know that at the time. So he went to Union Station. He sent me a photo, and there's a long line of people trying to get to St. Louis, and there was a bunch of Royals fans, and they are busing them. Amtrak is busing them to St. Louis now that the train is obviously not a feasible option.
That's a downgrade.
Oh, well, of course. Yeah, of course. But then we had a listener text in that said they were at a truck stop in east of Columbia, and there was a huge bus full of Royals fans headed this way.
You think it's the same bus?
I don't know. I mean, there could be a coach bus just as well. I don't know what kind of bus they're on. But let's put
maybe a company retreat situation?
Maybe, but there were definitely folks from Kansas City that were going to hop on the Amtrak to get to St. Louis. I think the train was going to leave at 8-something this morning and get here by 2 in the afternoon. So now they're taking a bus. I know a lot of you are driving. I've seen your text, although don't text and drive, but I've seen your
maybe
text.
Maybe they're just doing it on the voice
text.
That's
right. You go. Let's go with that.
I don't mind doing that occasionally, a voice text. Uh-huh. I usually just try to ignore it, but a voice text when we're doing it. Can I?
What do you think
I was going to say, like, we could talk more about it even tomorrow, I think, if it depends, but I was going to say the same thing, which is you and I spent a lifetime watching Cardinals fans take over Royal Stadium.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What do we think it's going to be like tonight?
It would bring me... I'm thinking it's going to be 25% Royals fans. I think you'd be able to hear Royals fans cheer for Jack Caglione as he steps to the plate.
Yes, I'm with you
there. I think you'd be able to hear
him. I'm definitely with you on it being audible for those that are listening on the station tonight or watching on TV tonight that aren't here. I think that is a given. It's just, how noticeable is it visually? Like, how blue versus red? It's a Tuesday night. Tuesday night could work in your favor. Yes, it's tough for people to leave from Kansas City, but also, what's the Cardinals crowd going to be like on a Tuesday? I know the Royals are in town, but what's the Cardinals crowd going to be? We looked at promotions. Did we find anything unique?
No promotions.
Some big giveaway tonight or anything?
Not like, there's not a, I don't know, Edmonds bobblehead or whatever they give away for the Cardinals fans available this evening. So I don't think that's going to drive them. Right now, let's see. Here's what I want to see. Secondary ticket cycle. Okay. Let's see what the get-in price is. That always kind of gives me a feel for, like, hey, how's it looking? We can get in the building tonight. You're driving here now, and you're like, I don't even have my tickets tonight. $17.
Just to get in.
$17. That's the cheapest
to get
in
the
door.
You can still leave in the next hour and a half or 2 hours and get here comfortably before first pitch.
So, like, I don't know. This is also just the tough part about being, like, in Kansas City. And speaking to the people, I feel like I know a lot of people.
Going, yeah.
Who are going to, I think that's what it is. I feel like I just know a lot of people who are coming to St. Louis to watch Jack Caglione's debut. Because other than being at Kauffman Stadium, this is the next best choice to watch his debut.
Yeah, and some people I know some people also have texted and said they're going to Chicago this weekend. They want to make a weekend trip and go to Chicago versus St. Louis. I can't blame you there, by the way.
We're sitting in St. Louis. You got to be careful. Right, there's a bunch of St. Louis residents out here in the newsroom.
That's fine.
I'm not trying to kick your ass.
I mean, I've been consistent on this. I would rather be in Chicago than St. Louis, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't?
But this is a much quicker drive, so it's better. But no, there's some listeners that are driving or flying to Chicago this weekend to watch him play there. And then, of course, his home debut is next Tuesday against the Yankees. Somebody on the text line said their coworker and them are in St. Louis for business. They bought tickets a month ago for tonight's game.
Unbelievable.
Stoked that it's tonight for Jack. So, yeah, you got lucky there. That's awesome.
That's incredible. Don't forget, if for some reason you aren't coming to St. Louis and you need a lunch spot, Summit Grill is the proud Taco Tuesday partner of Cody and Gold. Head over to any of their three locations for $2.50 tacos starting at 3 o'clock today. That includes the one over my neck of the woods in the Gladstone area, Lee Summit, and of course in Waldo. So head over to Summit Grill for Taco Tuesday, $2.50 tacos starting today at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, that might be one of the spots to watch Royals game if you're staying
good
in Kansas City.
Good call. A little $2.50 taco and watch Jack?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I like that.
A lot of people on the text line asking, how's the weather in St. Louis? So
fine.
Right now, partly cloudy. Nice. There's a chance it's going to rain around 2 o'clock. And then from people we've talked to here, they think we're good till midnight. So, if that's a concern, obviously we can't promise you anything, but I think we're fine. Nobody here seems to be concerned. I know it's been terrible weather in KC, but that's not going to be the case, they're saying, this evening here in St. Louis. And so far today, it's not done anything. So.
I'll be honest, I'm not a meteorologist, but in looking at the four different weather websites I checked today, do you know how often I check those? Never, outside of a scenario like this. and in speaking to an actual meteorologist, I think we're fine for the game tonight. I'm not saying there's a 0% chance that rain doesn't come in. I think it's mostly just going to be overcast in mid-80s.
It's going to be humid.
And humid.
Yeah.
And really, really humid. So, like, I don't think it's going to be a problem. Maybe you got to fight the rain driving in. I don't
text
know.
Line says, just be honest. Quote, it's as good as it can be in the worst city on the planet.
You and I weren't that strong.
Look, I know my feelings about St. Louis have been expressed before.
You said you wouldn't have minded going up the hill and getting some Italian food?
That's the only...
Is that its one redeeming quality for you? I will say, the arch is stupid, and I don't understand why people think it's cool.
Let's have a conversation about that for a second.
Do we want to do this right now? So look, I just feel like we're risking like getting to the car on time.
Drew, because of our... I have to turn our mics off in order to hear you. Cody can't hear you.
What'd you say, Drew?
Drew said he was shocked.
The fact that you said the arch was overrated or stupid. I thought the arch was pretty cool. The one time I've been to St. Louis one time in my life, and we went up in the arch, and it was really cool. We saw Busch Stadium, of course. Well, it wasn't in St. Louis long, but I didn't have a bad experience, at least.
I think it looks cool. No, like from the stadium, I think it looks very cool. The backdrop, the skyline actually is very cool. I think it's weird though that monument, it's basically signifying people leaving your city. Like it's the gateway to the West, isn't people, you're celebrating a monument or whatever that is people leaving your city, right?
I mean, yeah, I guess so.
That's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, but people still come to your
gateway
city
to get
to
the hell
see
out of
the
here.
Landmark.
That's what it is.
Get waited. Jeez. All right.
Well, yeah, people come to the city to see it. Nobody's disputing that. I don't know, man. We'll see.
It's fine.
They come to the city quickly.
I've
just
never
to
been
see
like,
it,
yes, can't wait to see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
We will continue to read your text. The text line says, St. Louis is overrated. Someone says, it's baseball heaven, gents. Soak it up. Oh, I just threw up in my mouth for a little bit as I read that text. Like,
they said, this is baseball heaven?
Yeah. They said, St. Louis. I just threw up in my mouth.
Your God is unjust. This is your heaven.
Oh, man. Someone says, West is the other way. I'm just telling you, it's the gateway to the West. I don't care where the arch is. It's the gateway to the West. Getting out of the city.
Maybe it's just getting out of a certain part of the city. Who the hell knows? Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Someone says, Do not go across the bridge to Illinois. Do not go over there.
People are just saying, yeah, more people saying they're going to Chicago. Someone says, arch is definitely a must-see thing once every 10 years, you know?
Someone says they have a lot of strip clubs, Cody. You can finally get to one.
Nah, we're too busy today. I got another stuff.
We honestly don't.
I'm not even kidding. We don't.
We don't.
We got offered free tours at Four Hands from our guy, Jeremy Danner. We got offered all kinds of like nice little excursions. We could have, like, maybe tried to get a coffee with our guy Jake Eisenberg or something. We had to come here, do the show, and then we're heading straight to Busch Stadium right after this, right?
That's the plan. Yeah, and we're going to be watching a little BP. We'll be talking to Cags. Go ahead, Drew.
In fairness, you go to the strip club after Cags hits two home runs and a walk-off, after Cags goes 2-for-4 with two homers, then you can go to the strip club and celebrate.
Yeah, look, I'm trying to get home. It might have the same effect for Dusty without even having to go. I have no idea. It might be the same. Mm. Shout out to our guy, Dusty.
We're going to be feeling like partying after Jack Caglione's debut. Is that what's going on?
We have to drive back. We have to drive back.
I'm afraid it'll be a cup of coffee in my hand at 10 p.m. at night, ideally, driving ourselves back to Kansas City. Not party, happy time.
Yeah, look.
I'm interested in that, but maybe this weekend.
We'll get to some bets for Cags coming up. There's a bunch of options. Let us know what you guys are doing on that realm. I think everybody in Kansas City at this point, it's one of those where the house is going to either clean up or get cooked a little bit tonight because everybody's for fun just saying we're going all in on Cags tonight. But we'll get to that in just a bit. But overall, look, the fact that this day happens to be against St. Louis also is kind of cool. I wish it was a home debut for his big league debut. But the fact that it is against a rival, and obviously based on the text line and what we were saying, there's still some hate across the I-70 and everything like that. J.J. Piccolo answered the question we had to start the show, which is, how do you ease Cags in? Do you have him in right field? I told you I would have been fine with him just being in right field, but we got our answer already, that he is most likely to DH, and the reasoning that JJ gave was exactly what we were wondering, which is, do they want to ease him in? And the answer is kind of yes. And he's going to eventually play right field, but tonight, it looks like DH.
And I'm interested to find out. First, that's fine. I told you I wasn't like, I'd have been fine to play him in right field, but if they want to slow walk this thing, that's fine, and I'm comfortable with that. I'm not like offended by that by any means. But the bigger part of that was that he hinted at real lineup changes. Like, they weren't going to just call up Jack Caglione and hit him fifth. Is that they were hinting at the possibility of Mikel Garcia, I think, moving up the order, or Jonathan India moving down the order, or Salvador Perez moving down the order. I don't know which, but he made it sound like this lineup tonight or sometime in the next week could look dramatically different than what the current lineup has looked like a number of times over the last couple of months. And because they have constantly been making those shifts, that's fine. I do think by the end of the year, I'd like Jack Caglione to fit fourth. I'd like him right behind Vinny. Wow, they can't hit him. See, it's always going to be fit. That's the thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's never going to hit behind Vinny unless they decide to hit Bobby Wood Jr. leadoff. Here's the other lineup. You can do Bobby leadoff, and then Mikel second, Vinny third, Salvi fourth, Jack fifth. But they've already said fifth or sixth for Jack. So, like, I'm having a hard time thinking it's not going to be Salvador Perez in the four spot. So when he's talking lineup changes, I got to think there's a chance that it's Mikel Garcia leading off, and they're finally just basing it off of this season's current level of play and not what they brought Jonathan India in to be, which was their leadoff hitter.
Yeah.
That was a part of the trade plan, man. He was supposed to be their leadoff hitter, Gold. And it accepting part of like, well, Mikel's hitting better, let's just make the shift is okay.
The other part with what has transpired, both with Cags getting called up, but even a week ago when you know John Rave was called up, it's very clear with how the organization operates. Can we please all just use this for like background knowledge next year? If it's April or it's May, and you're frustrated with the player or whatever, they have a pretty strong track record, Cody, of they don't
making the changes
make
when they're
the changes
needed, yeah.
In, well, they don't make the changes until Memorial Day or June. That, and for some people, they'll say that's too long, but that they don't have a quick rush reaction. Some people would argue they should have called him up 3 weeks ago or whatever. That's fine. Everybody's going to have an opinion. But I think it's very clear. Like, next year, pick a player that you want called up or a player that's struggling or whatever. And if you're texting in on May 1st, chances are, and he was in the opening day lineup, chances are they're not making that change. They did one. MJ Melendez was early, all right? But that also was a carryover from last year. But with all these other moves, they've all happened Memorial Day or up until June 3rd. Really, in the last 10 to 12 days, they've had numerous moves that people have maybe been talking about, but this is when they make those, and that includes today's call-up with Jack Caglione.
Last year, it went poorly. We already gave those numbers maybe like a month ago, Gold, when people were talking about lineup changes or so. Mikel Garcia hit like 250-ish with like a 295 on-base percentage, I think it was, in the spot last year, hitting leadoff. This year, he's played 7 games at leadoff. He's hitting .444 with a .467 on base and an over 1,000 OPS. 7 games. Incredibly, incredibly small sample size. And I want to make that very, very clear. But because he's hitting .320 pretty much at any other time right now, it's hard to not think he doesn't deserve to lead off. Hitting fourth, he's hitting .313. Hitting fifth, he's hitting .324. Fourth, he's played even 2 less games than batting first. If they're making lineup changes, it's either Mikel Garcia is going up and they're making something simple, or they're getting ready to throw a whole loop and Bobby's hitting leadoff or somebody else is hitting leadoff.
That would
and this
be
whole
a significant
thing,
change.
This whole thing looks different and they're just trying anything to kind of jumpstart the offense.
Yeah, that would be a massive shift if it was something like that. Reminder, coming up in about 40 minutes, we'll be joined by David Sampson, former Marlins team president. We played you that audio earlier. We also asked J.J. Piccolo about it, where David Sampson questioned the timing of the Royals' move. He doesn't agree with the timing of it. J.J. Piccolo, we'll bring you that answer again coming up maybe in the next 15 minutes or so before we have David Sampson join us. But a lot of you have been sending us screenshots of your bets tonight. Everybody is all in on Cags. As I said, I think it's very clear that everybody's either going to have a very good night or you're going to have multiple people upset that they maybe lost a few bucks. But I think it's all in good fun, right? And if you look at some of the options right now on FanDuel, these are the current ones. Don't forget, for those of you that will be staying in Kansas, you'll be able to live bet, so you can probably have some more options. But here are a couple that stood out, Cody. For starters, everybody knows, Cags did home run 7-1 right now. It was 8-1. I think it's down to 6-1 in some spots. But 7-1 for Cags at home run. The problem is the pitcher he's going up against, 99 percentile ground ball rate. He's a ground ball pitcher.
So he's not the guy who's going to let you put the ball in the air.
Giving up 8 or 9 home runs this year. So if he gets one out,
he earned it.
And he's obviously got the power to do it, but this guy typically does a good job of forcing ground balls. So that's something to watch. For Cags to just get a single, -105. double 5-1, two or more hits 3-1, three or more hits 17-1.
How bold are we feeling? You know,
and then there's the total bases, right? If you think he's getting five total bases, it's 11-1. So if he gets a home run and a single, it's 11-1.
I mean, if I think he's hitting the home run, I might as well just go with the five total bases, right? I'm getting double the odds for one more base.
God, that'd be sick.
Unless
he's one for four with a homer.
And a homer.
Which, by the way, would you take that right now tonight? One for four in a homer because he hits one in his debut? I would right now.
Yeah. Are you kidding?
I'd take that
every night for the rest of the year.
Well, sure. But just for tonight.
Have 100 homers?
Yeah, sure. But one for four tonight, but with a home run? Lock me in.
I'd like that homer to be a go-ahead homer in the top of the ninth inning, but sure.
No, I want first at bat. Would be epic.
Ooh, you want first at
bat. That would be epic.
That would be better. That would be better than go-ahead homer.
Well, there's not a walk-off tonight.
Three-run go-ahead homer, though, in the ninth inning.
Sure. I mean, that's epic, too. I also think, though, just to continue to fuel the flight, like the first at-bat, if just first at-bat.
Yeah, that's probably true.
You know, first at-bat, he's down 0-2, but the pitcher makes a mistake, and he just, that's the thing. You make a mistake against him, I do think
you can't serve up a fastball on an accident pitch because he will tattoo it.
Yeah. All right. Is there one that entices you? Also, stolen bases plus 800.
Look, there's almost no chance I'm going to a Royals game. I am going to do it. I'm not going to a Royals game where Jack Caglione is making his major league debut and not betting him to hit a homer gold. I'm going to do that. The only other ones that interest me significantly are maybe the double, but I also maybe like that bet better next week when he starts getting these alleys here at Kauffman, where I do think Vern said yesterday, and I think it's true, or he said yesterday in a clip yesterday, and I think he said it on the morning show, he's going to wear out the gaps a little bit. I think there's probably some truth to that at Kauffman, so maybe I hold off on that one. I would either do the home run better or I do the five total bases, where I'm just banking on the fact that he might be able to get five total bases a different way. The problem is, in order to get five total bases, gold, he kind of has to hit a homer. What's he going to do? Two doubles and a single tonight? And to get that, well, then I might as well just bet him to get three hits, which was 17-1, right?
Correct. Yep.
So, like, it's always just kind of going in the same chain. So, like, honestly, home run or three hits? Those are the only ones I'm going with.
Someone says, you
17-1 is fun.
Someone on the text said, you have to give odds on everything. I mean, that's kind of how betting works. That's kind of how that works. It's kind of how that works.
Oh, as in they don't want us to talk about odds at all, or they don't want odds for this specific thing?
I'm not sure.
I'm not even trying to be rude. I don't know.
Not sure which one.
But either way, yeah, we're just talking about it a little bit tonight because we're going to have some fun watching Jack Caglione. Again, let us know if you're going to be there. 913-586-7965. I'm kind of curious how big the Royals contingent is. I don't know. Later in the show, we'll talk about what makes reasonable expectations or what we would call a good season out of Jack Caglione. But this game, I will say, there's going to be like a ACBC kind of situation, right? After Cags and before Cags, I think, from the season with me. I am judging the Royals, in my opinion, gold, what they were before Caglione and what they were after. Not to say that I think he's the savior of the lineup in his own right, but because of the power, because I think they're getting ready to make these lineup changes, they're getting ready to change, because Lugo and Reagans are coming back. It's not just Cags, but he ends up being the marker gold. What were you after Jack Caglione got to the bigs is how I'm going to start viewing this team and how they win, I think, for the next couple of months. Not what they were before Jack Caglione showed up. And again, not to say he's the only reason, but it seems like it's coming with everything else. All the other guys they've called up from the minors the last couple of weeks, the pitching changes they've made, the lineup changes they're maybe making. Like, I just think it's going to be a diametrically different approach a little bit. And so I'm going to start viewing this team a little bit different over the next couple of weeks.
Coming up next, you want to hear what J.J. Piccolo told us earlier today in response to what David Sampson had to say about the Royals calling him up now versus waiting a couple weeks to call up Cags. And Cody asked me a question off air before we got to the studio today about how the Royals organizationally have been acting. And is there something else going on as well? That's coming up right here.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on Cody and Gold.
Hi, I'm Vinny Pasquantino, and this is a spring breakout breakdown. So we're going to talk about Jack Caglione. We've got to spend a little bit of time with him. So the first thing is he's got massive hands. It's ridiculous. So that's a tool. I don't care what anybody says. That's a tool. You shake the guy's hand, you feel very small. So that's the first thing. Second thing, light tower power. Ever heard of it? It's ridiculous. The guy touches the baseball, it goes over the wall. Doesn't matter. Left center, right center, down the left field line, down the right field line, it's a homer. I'd say he's got some really good athleticism. You watch the two of us next to each other, and it's like we're playing a different sport, which is pretty cool for me. So he just moves really well, and he also throws 100 off the bump. So, yeah, the guy's got some tools, and he's going to be ridiculous to watch in the years coming through.
Jack Caglione, 6th overall selection out of the University of Florida.
He kind of reminds me of Paul O'Neill. There are some similarities in the swing, but O'Neill was a massive competitor, and Cags is about as competitive as it gets.
That ball is gone! It's a home run for Caglione!
I can't wait to get up to Kansas City and see what everything's all about, and I'm really excited to be a blast runner.
He's an enormous human being. He's only going to get bigger and stronger.
Swing, power, and poise that has been advertised. That is ridiculous.
When looking at the numbers for this guy, video game stuff appeared.
And that thing was gone in about 2 seconds or so.
Well, the underrated aspect of Jack Caglione's game is his defense.
I just dream about a lineup that has Bobby Witt and this kid hitting back-to-back in a lineup.
What can't Jack Caglione do?
My goodness, Jack Caglione makes it look so effortless.
I mean, he shows everything that you want to see out of a dynamic player.
You ready? You're ready for this thing tonight?
Think
That's courtesy of MLB Network, by the way, with some of the sound there. You heard Jake Eisenberg's voice mixed in there along the way. And we are all in St. Louis because of Jack Caglione's debut. We continue broadcasting live from one of our sister stations here, KMOX. We appreciate them for hosting us today. As soon as the show ends, we will be walking, driving, I don't know what we're going to do yet, across the street or so.
Driving, I believe.
I think driving, maybe. We were told we should not walk.
I did not say that.
Were we not told?
I know
that?
We were joking about it,
were
but
we not
were,
told?
We were told.
Were we not told
we
that?
We were told by the people at the station that it was not a good idea
to
walk from
Stadium.
The station over to Busch Stadium, even though it's only like a 14-minute walk, so I was very tempted.
We're going to drive over there. We're going to talk to Cags, Matt Quatrero, and also watch some BP. Be following our station's social media accounts, also individually at Cody B. Tapp, at Alex Gold. We'll be posting stuff on those throughout the night. Also, you can check out Dusty's handles. He will be here eventually this afternoon, this evening as well. And let us know if you guys are making the trip out to St. Louis. Thank you. Text line 913-586-7965. David Sampson is going to join us in about 25 minutes. He's the former team president of the Marlins. He now hosts a couple shows on CBS Sports HQ. And we played the audio earlier, and he was very critical of the Royals' decision to call up Cags now. Right? He said it basically didn't make any sense because of the Super 2 status, service time, the kind of money it could cost you by making this decision. And I think, as we said, ultimately it shows the team is willing to win now. They're not worried about some of those aspects. Not to mention, some of it is a little gray right now in terms of how that kind of works. But we asked J.J. Piccolo about those comments. Here's what J.J. said to us earlier today.
Well, first of all, it never plays a role for the Kansas City Royals. We're going to do what's best for the player, what's best for the organization. You know, there's a lot of unpredictability in Super 2, and it's very complicated to try to explain it real quickly here. But it's a little bit of a sliding scale, so he potentially can be a Super 2, but that's not the end of the world if he's a Super 2. that's not why we would or wouldn't make a decision, nor is service time. You know, that's if we had thought he was ready for the major leagues opening day, he would have been on the team opening day. So, you know, that is really irrelevant in our minds, because this is about winning baseball games, and this is about putting the right guys on the field. And now that we're comfortable that he's ready for this challenge, he's going to come up. And that's the same can be said for every player that I've ever been a part of in my time with the Royals, and it's going to be the same way moving forward.
Isn't that exactly what you want to hear if you're a fan? Like,
yeah, I don't care about the money. I'm just going to try to win baseball games.
Making a decision because the player is ready. And yeah, there's a chance, maybe there's a chance that it makes things more expensive down the road. I don't know exactly how the flat-out call-up works, Cody. Like, was this something where John Sherman is also cleared on? I have no idea, right? I mean,
or Brooks or somebody. I'm assuming, they're informed of decisions. Sure.
J.J. Piccolo is the general manager, and he's the executive vice president of baseball operations. And, you know, David Sampson, I appreciate he's going to join us in 25 minutes. I really want to ask him, like, more detail on his answer yesterday. But he also was the team president for a Marlins team that, to this day, is still known as being about as cheap as they come in baseball.
And let Miggy walk for less than $1 million, dollars, and that's a future Hall of Fame player, guy who hit 500 home runs, once won a triple crown in Major League Baseball. I think what might happen here with David Sampson is he views all small market teams the same. And so if he were running the Royals like they had to run the Marlins, this would be a crazy thing to do. They held their players hostage for as long as you could, because it was more about control, because your chance to win was control. And look, to the Marlins' effort, I guess, at times, they were more regularly a World Series contending team. Then they'd tear the whole thing down. They'd rip it to shreds, drag the whole thing down, and go back to being 57 wins. And the truth is, I'd rather be more like the Rays than the Marlins. And if you got to make judicious trades, fine. The Rays don't hold their players hostage.
But what
the Royals have never done that. They let Mondesi debut in the World Series. They let Bobby Wood Jr. start the season. They could have held on for him for 2 weeks. What's the because a hypothetical Super 2 deadline, it's a bad decision?
And,
I don't see
and
it.
Look, I understand that baseball teams, including this team we're discussing, the Kansas City Royals, they obviously make decisions that are business decisions as well. Nobody's acting like this never happened. Of course it does. And how they approach the offseason, of course that has to play a role. But in this perspective, like, I actually do believe if they thought Jack Caglione was ready 3.5 weeks ago, I actually believe it, that they would have called him up 3.5 weeks ago. I think they fundamentally believed he needed AAA. So he went to AAA for essentially a cup of coffee, and then now he's up. Like, I truly do believe that. If they thought he did not need AAA, then they would not have sent him to AAA. That's just fundamentally how they operate.
He just dominated, and they're like, damn, we got to call this guy up now.
But, you know, in terms of the extra year, if Jack Caglione ends up being what everybody hopes he is, the extra $10 million stuff, that's not even
a
problem.
Who cares?
That's not a problem because you're talking about a mega deal
at
that point.
You're talking $300 million. What the hell do I care about the 10?
And you're trying to buy years out ahead of time like they did with Bobby. If he ends up, like, there's a chance, if all goes well, in 2 years, maybe less, but 2 years, we're talking about, hey,
I agree.
Should they be working on it? Can they buy out arbitration and get this? This part won't even matter. If he also finishes top two in Rookie of the Year, then this won't matter. And I don't know if he will, but if he does, then this conversation is moot.
Or he finishes in the MVP thing somewhere in the right. You get your value back by getting a guy who's ready. And more than anything, as a fan, you shouldn't normalize losing in order to get better. They're around a .500 team. They have one of the better pitching staffs in all of baseball. And they don't want to, and JJ said this, Gold, they don't want to waste it. And the way to not waste it is hit now. And what is the easiest way to hit now? Okay, well, Jeff Passan put out his article and said, the conversations are just starting to percolate. You know, here's the teams most likely to make trades. Yeah. As in, fine, the bubble begins of the conversations, the trade stuff, but it's not a done deal, and you can't get it done today necessarily. You have one of the top 10 prospects in all of baseball and a potential bona fide star in your system, and he's passing all the benchmarks to be ready. I don't care about Super 2, and I sure as hell hope my team doesn't care about it. I'm dead serious. They better not. If I had heard the other way around, I don't care this way. If I had heard the other way around, I'd have been pissed. Nope. Royals are holding on to Jack to try to avoid that Super 2 deadline. Are you kidding? What? They did, both games just finished 1-0 over the weekend on Saturday and Sunday. Forget Super 2. I don't care about the $10 million. It's also somebody else's money gold. We really shouldn't care. Why do I care if it costs John Sherman $10 million?
Yeah, that's what the take was a little weird, just because, you know, and I understand he's giving it as a perspective, David Sampson, as a former team president. But, like, if you're a fan, this is like what you dream of hearing from your organization, right? If you're a fan, you dream of a team you root for saying, yeah, we're not worried about that stuff. If he's ready and we want to win, we're calling him up. That's what you want. I don't care if you're a Yankees fan, I don't care if you're a Rays fan, a Reds fan, whatever. You hope you have a front office and an ownership group that is on the same page, that they're allowing you to truly do what is best to win now. Now, we can all sit here and say, in general, sure, we all wish that Royals were, you know, and every team was spending as much as the Dodgers in this perfect utopian world. Sure, I'm right there with you. But when we're talking about calling up players, you want to be on the side that they're on right this second, which is not worrying about that and calling up players when they're ready. They've done it now, as you referenced, in the last couple of call-ups with Bobby Witt and now Caglione, where service time, et cetera, be damned. They're calling up guys that can help them win immediately. And we all know this year is all about
service
time winning.
A number of times, and they didn't do
it. Yeah, that is not actually, you cannot accuse them of doing that with the last couple of call-ups at all.
It's been the opposite. And it's not, I got to be honest, the 1 year is not going to make the difference about whether or not they decide to pay the player or can afford the player. If they want to afford him, they can afford him. Bobby Wood Jr. is one of the superstars in the sport. And look, 5 years from now, 6 years from now, whenever his contract's up, if they don't want to pay him and I'm not kidding, by that time, $800 million or whatever somebody wants to pay him, they might not. But it's going to have nothing to do with the 2 weeks they did or didn't call him up his rookie season. Like, that's not, I don't want my team operating that way. I want them to win.
Yeah.
I want them to
that's
want
all you,
to
that's
win.
All you want.
Like,
that's,
you know.
That's what every sports fan wants. I will say the intro Drew played there, the part where the announcer says, I dream one day of the lineup where Bobby Wood Jr. and Caglione hit back-to-back. And that's a fun thing to think about one day. That's a very fun thing maybe to think about, in fact that happens.
Maybe it happens tonight. They're already talking lineup changes. Are you sure?
I am sure tonight, because JJ already told us he's hitting fifth and sixth. Bobby's not hitting fourth.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I do know Bobby's not hitting fourth, so I do know that will not happen tonight. Because JJ already told us that Cags is hitting fifth or sixth. So.
Any chance like Vinny leads off? I'm asking this. So here's why I'm legitimately asking this.
I don't think so.
Where Vinny hits in the lineup, and the fact that Salvi is like a question mark on the lineup right now is, you can't put, logically, based on the hitters and the way they've been doing the job, Michael, Bobby, Vinny, Jack. But you're not going to do lefty, lefty, 3-4, then
that's
Salvi,
the
fifth. So, like, that's why I was asking. Like, is there an argument for get Vinny's bat higher in the lineup, gold, because then you separate him and Cags. That way you can get Cags to fourth one day or third one day. I'm not saying even tonight, because it's not really a problem tonight. If he's sitting fifth or sixth, he's sitting behind Salvador Perez anyway, in my opinion. So, okay, whatever. We're sitting behind India, or he's sitting behind somebody who's right-handed. Where him and Vinny are relative to where they are each other in the lineup is unimportant. But at some point, if Jack Caglione ends up being the kind of hitter he's capable of being gold, I don't want him hitting fifth. I want him hitting third, fourth, second. And then at some point, you have to figure out which of those two guys you're going to hit higher in the lineup. That's all. I'm not saying it's a problem right now. Do people ever put back the Royals don't? The Royals like the Mexicans of it. They don't want them to be able to bring in a lefty and try to neutralize Vinny and Jack Caglione at the same time, I don't think. Some people are creating fake headlines if we were to walk to the stadium from over there.
Oh,
is it really that? Is it? Oh, I mean,
geez.
It looks perfectly fine. I mean, we just walk over there. I don't know. It's 15 minutes. We're going to pay $40 to park instead?
I think what we were told was, during the day, you're good.
But we'd be coming back at like 10 o'clock at night. And you're saying that's a little
I'm just here. Telling what people told me. This is not my
honestly,
opinion.
Yeah, it's true. I have no...
I'm just telling what people told us in St. This is not like me making something up. I was told, hey, you probably don't want to walk from the building to the stadium. You might want to drive. And I said, okay, fair enough.
Okay. Can I ask you just on the lineup basis, and then we can get to a random question of the day here in just a minute. What is your... If you could build the lineup any way you want right now, what would it be? Forget what, like... How they been doing? Would you hit Bobby leadoff? Get him the most at bats at Vinny second, then Mikel third, then Cags. Like, if you got to create the lineup tonight, Golden, you're like, no, I'm just going off a gut. How Ooh. I feel about the team, how I think they are as hitters. I'm dead serious. It might be Bobby Wood Jr. leadoff, Vinny second, Mikel third, as a guy to get on base, ahead of Jack fourth,
yeah.
Salvi fifth, India sixth, and then the Waters, Isbell, Massey combo. I'm kind of open on that. I'm not really firm on any of that.
Yeah, like if we take some of the quote baseball think out of it a little bit, you know, like in how teams operate, typically you don't have, like 15 years ago, Cody, Bobby Witt would be leading off without a question. That's just not really how things operate anymore.
Yeah. But people put the best players hitting leadoff a lot of times.
Yeah,
that's
like,
pretty,
so, no, Bobby leading off, I think, would be Bobby leading off, and I would not on his debut, I would have Cags within the next week or so batting third or fourth. But I understand why on your debut you're not putting Cags third in your lineup on his debut. That's a bit much. That's a bit much. You're already DHing him anyway.
Yeah,
but I'm not anti Bobby batting leadoff. I just don't think they're going to do that.
I got to remember. I think that there's a comment of him at some point saying he didn't like it.
Bobby?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think there's a comment one that like that wasn't his favorite spot to hit. So, and look, I mean, you don't have to concede. I mean, I don't think he'd be like, I won't. Like, I don't think it's like that.
In a perfect scenario, I'd probably have Salvi batting fifth or sixth.
Yeah.
Honestly.
That's what I said. Yeah. And fifth in mine. Like, I just put Cags at fourth and accept my fate. I mean, he's either good. Like, if he's the hitter he is, it's not. And honestly, it's not going to go worse than it has been going in the fourth, fifth spot right now. That's the other part of it. And right now, Bobby, Mikel Garcia deserves to move up. I don't want him behind Salvi all year either. That would be my way of getting the hitters I want at the top of the order is the only problem. I just don't think they're going
to
do it.
All right. Let's get to it, Drew.
Random question.
All right, we can't hear the random question.
You
just
didn't?
With the
okay.
Mixed mind. It's all good.
I figured
it's time.
For you, Gold.
We just can't hear it on
you,
our end.
Drew. I'm going to assume that it happened. I started talking. 913-586-7965. The text line. You can hit us on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. We live stream the show today. It's just 3D printed figurines of us, but you know, it still counts because we're here in St. Louis to watch Jack Caglione.
A giant Caglione statue on the stream instead.
Yeah, we don't have one of those right now.
Working on it, you know?
You know, next. We'll get that next for the studio. We'll get like one of those cardboard cutouts that go in the grocery stores to put behind us, at least on the other end. The question I have today relates to, you know, obviously the fact that we're driving out to St. Louis. You and I rode together. So the question I have for you today is very simple. I want you to impress us a little bit. What is the longest stretch you have driven consecutively without having to stop? I'm big on go to the bathroom, get your snack, and let's see how far down the road we can get, Gold, before we have to stop. That's pre-kid, admittedly.
Yeah.
I now understand that when I'm driving with my kids, I got to do this thing different. But Alex, you and I drove from my house all the way to the hotel. We did not stop. We did not get gas. We did not go to the restroom. We just drove it, the 3.5 hours. The question I have for you today is, what's the longest you've been able to make it without having to stop? The best I've ever done, and I, you know, like we've joked about this before, but like the courier work, the best I ever did was 6.5 hours without stopping. I drove full tank of gas, or 6 hours, full tank of gas to empty tank of gas, straight shot, never stopped until I had to get gas. And I was on like gaslight gas. I made it a full tank the whole way down, nothing but highway driving and like something. The car I was driving at the time had a bigger tank, so like I was able to drive a little further.
So I don't know the exact spot to spot, but it had to have been on my drive when I was moving from Kansas City to Boise, Idaho. And so I drove from Kansas City to Boise over 2 days. I drove from Kansas City to Rawlings, Wyoming, and then Rawlings, Wyoming to Boise, Idaho. And now I had my dog with me, but she's pretty good on a road trip of sleeping. And I'll just have some water
Man,
with
me.
You
drove that straight?
No, I didn't. Ooh. No, I didn't. No, I didn't drive that straight. It was not. There's no way I drove Kansas City to Rawlings, Wyoming, with stopping.
No, but did you like just get gas and then get back in?
Yeah, it was pretty
quick. I almost count that as a marathon.
I would say it was probably 5.5-6 hours without stopping at a time. But at some point, the dog needed to go out. So that's probably my answer. That was the longest drive I've done, was definitely the Kansas City to Boise, or Boise down to Houston. Kansas City to Houston was an adventure.
Kansas City to Florida is the longest total drive I've made, but I stopped and stayed the night in Atlanta. Like, I caved. I didn't just go 20 hours straight. So I guess there's the follow-up. What's the longest you've made, let's say, no major stops?
Yeah, because people got to stop for gas,
yeah,
initially.
The most you stop for is gas and food, right? And you did those things. What's the furthest you made it?
Oh,
probably Atlanta. I don't think I've driven further than that in one. Oh, you know what? I drove from Santa Fe to Kansas City. Is that further? I drove Santa Fe to Kansas City without, like, you know, just getting gas and keep driving. I did that all in one night, no stops anywhere. So maybe that's the one. I mean, it's crazy sometimes, like, how far you try to make it. Do you get tired when you drive?
Well, there, you definitely get to a point where if you know you're
dozing,
if you got 2 or 3 hours left, and till either your destination or where you're already comfortable stopping. I've done it where you try to push it 2 hours or so. But now I've told you, and we're going to drive back tonight. But you're driving. But if it's past 1 a.m. on a road trip, that's when I usually stop. Like, I'd rather get up at 4 a.m. and start driving than drive from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. On a road trip, I don't want to drive 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. I'll be honest. I'm kind of out. I'm done at that point. But I'll get up at 4 a.m. Like, when I drove from Rawlings, Wyoming to Boise, that morning I got up at 4:30 and finished the drive. But I was done driving by 11:45 the day before.
I almost feel like that drive, by the way, I took to Atlanta. I forgot my driver's license. I had to have someone ship it to me in Atlanta.
They overnighted your driver's license?
Yeah, I left my whole wallet at home.
What?
Got to the first gas station, probably right around in St. Louis. Oh, was there someone with me? My wife was with me, she could still pay. Okay. And then she, like, for a while, she was like, that's it, you can't drive because you don't have your driver's. She was like, you can't drive, you don't have a driver's license. I'm like, it'll be fine. And she drove, like, the next 4 hours straight, and she's like, I changed my mind on that. We're fine, let's switch. I was like, yeah, it'll be fine. If I get pulled over, I'll be like, oh, no. What have I done? I'll prove to them eventually that I have a driver's license, which I did. I just left it at home.
Do you have your driver's license with you right now?
I do.
That's good to know.
I do have my driver's license. That's ever good. Since I've lost, so, two road trips. That one was bad, but, like, not that bad, because it was really just driving down there, and I had it by the time I got to Florida, right? I had it shipped down to Florida, and I had it by the time I got down there, so fine. The one when I dropped my wallet at a toll booth in Chicago was the bigger problem. Because the person I was with did not have a lot of expendable cash because we were like 19 years old and we were pretty much riding on fumes to get home gold. That was the one I told you. Not kidding. 2 weeks later, after I'd canceled all my cards and all this stuff, a guy showed up on my doorstep with my wallet. He's like, hey.
He showed up on your doorstep?
He said, I found this at a toll booth in Chicago and I was coming this way anyway, so here it is. I was like, are you nuts?
What? He didn't ship it. He drove it to you. That's weird, though. He came to your house. Actually,
he drove it directly to my house.
As nice as that sounds, there's also a little part of me is like, I don't know. Do you want the person driving all the way to your front door? That's a little bit much.
I mean, they're going to know where I live either way. They have my ID.
No, but like, do you want them knocking on your door? That's a bit
much. It was weird. It was surprising to see that they had my wallet. That's for sure.
Someone says, well, you can buy a house from your phone. Why can't we have our driver's license on our phones? I think there's some states you can do that. I tend to agree, but that's a whole other conversation.
There's states you can have your driver's license on your phone?
If you go to the Apple wallet on your phone, there's a spot that says driver's license, but only a few states allow you to upload it.
Yeah? Oh.
I don't know which states. There's a couple.
Are Missouri or Kansas?
No.
Some of them?
No. I would have had it on there.
Would you have done that? You're willing to give Apple your drive. I will say,
Cody, they got everything certain else. Cody, they have everything else. I understand people are freaking out about data stuff.
I understand they're already tracking
Apple's
me everywhere.
Apple's
already
got everything.
But my driver's license is kind of a crazy. That's like uploading my social security card. That feels like you really got me at that point. I might as well give my mother's maiden name, too.
Well, Apple already has your mother's maiden name. But like, that driver's license is different than your social.
Okay.
Driver's license, you can easily, like, that's, yeah. How many places do you think you've given your driver's license to?
Oh, websites over the years?
Yeah, way more.
I mean, you know, every rental car company, every betting app.
Uh-huh. hotels sometimes.
Health insurance.
Now, they don't have it on file, but hotels like check it. On file is different than checking it, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, I've given it a number of times over the years.
In this studio we're in, say, there's a giant webcam in front of me. You know, like the people that tape the webcam, like, dude, give me a break. Like, you know, I mean, like this idea that like someone's watching us right now.
Doesn't Zuckerberg do that? And they're always, like,
talking about him. Taping the webcam camera is wild. Look. If they want to find you, like if the government wanted to find you today, they would find your ass.
Have they found those two guys in New Orleans? Now that you say that. Have they found those two guys in New Orleans? Have they found that guy who escaped the Arkansas prison who was expected to be in the Ozarks?
Not yet. But again, this is not a have they found them in a week. It's find them? And the answer is they will find them. That guy that the Arkansas police chief or whatever, former ex-police chief, that guy, I feel like that's going to end in the forest. Like I don't think that guy's going back home kind of thing. I think that is I think that's ending where it's happening, if you know what I mean. Anyway, all right. 1 o'clock hour. Let's get off of this topic, please. Don't forget, though, if you're thinking about what to eat for lunch, Summit Grill is our proud Taco Tuesday partner here on Cody and Gold. You can head over to any of their three locations for $2.50 tacos starting at 3 o'clock. Maybe you go pick up some tacos. Maybe you go there, watch the Royals game tonight, as a matter of fact. But up next, let's talk to the Marlins former team president, David Sampson. He had those comments about the Royals calling up Jack Caglione. We want to dive deeper into that. Plus, just get his perspective on what the Royals may need to do roster-wise the rest of the way closer to the trade deadline. That's coming up as Cody and Gold continue to broadcast live in St. Louis.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.